Are you getting the spirit?
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Talking about the spirit in the dark. People moving. Everybody grooving. Been together in the spirit.
Blind Boys of Alabama pumping it out in the background. They're going to be our guests shortly. And now it's time for me to bring you up to date on my blind week of sacrifice. No, my week of blind sacrifice. Blind week of sacrifice.
Yes,
with dead squirrels all over Orangeville. I just couldn't. I didn't know what I was killing. Well, as many of you know, for the last week of Lent, I gave up my sight from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. I placed these specially made contact lenses over my eyes. By the way, I want to thank Dr. John Walcott from Erin. It's Erin, too. It's not Aaron. Erin.
Really?
Yeah, Erin.
Like Cairns
in
Australia?
Yeah, and it's Tal Backman who's coming up as our guest. Randy Backman's son.
I
not
messed
Bachman.
That up, yeah.
That's okay. Anyway, I put these black contact lenses over my eyes. It basically blocked out my vision. And as you can imagine, I've been asked many, many times, why did you do that? It's funny, some people find this thing that I did very fascinating, and others are like, that's nice. Okay, bye now.
And you just throw those people off.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Yeah.
Aside from having great admiration for the visually impaired, especially Tom Sullivan coming up later in the show, I've often thought that being an overly visual North American male has meant that I've missed out on the more subtle movements of God in my life, because I'm smart enough to know that God moves mostly in salt and light, tiny.
Yep. Yep.
Not in grandiose sound system, lighting system, plush seats, purple carpet, tiny.
It's big. And it's also sometimes very, very private, too.
Very private. Especially for me. Especially for males, I think, maybe more.
Yep.
My sight, though, has always gotten in the way of my spiritual growth. Whether it's because of issues with trust. It's hard to trust something you don't see.
Yeah.
Invisible God stuff drives me insane. Our lust, which has been something that 99% of males struggle with and the other 1% are liars. So maybe, just maybe, with the absence of sight, I thought might come a more attuned sense to the quiet whispers of the holy. And as I said to you last week when I did the show blind, apparently those whispers are very quiet.
Yeah. Couldn't hear him at all over the dull roar of your brain, right?
There's no question being blind for an entire week was by far one of the most mind-blowing experiences I've ever had. So I wrote down some thoughts.
Excellent.
May I share these with you?
I would love to hear them so you don't have to say it 30 times to other people.
Thank you. These are my thoughts I wrote down Easter morning, because what happened at Easter morning, I went to the top of the hills of the ranch, where you and I both know. And as the sun was coming up, I took out my contact lenses.
Very cool.
And just had a look around. I had a kind of a white...
Did you ride up or
no,
someone walked,
no,
you walked up?
No,
eh?
Someone's. Why is someone calling?
I don't know.
Look, I'm talking... No, I don't want to.
Okay.
I'm talking about
all
me
right
now. So here's what I wrote down about my Easter morning experience. I'm really not able to describe how I'm feeling today. Relief? Maybe. The darkness had become part of me, and now it's gone. I think there's a grieving process happening. Once I could actually see again, I looked around at the view and the sunrise on top of the hills behind Teen Ranch, and I thought, God is good. He's good to create and good to give us eyes to enjoy his creation and a soul to feel it. My emotions, though, kind of ambushed me a couple of times, but I was with the camera guy. So I tend to shut down the emotions when people are around, especially guys. I remember one time I went to see Legends of the Fall with Mark and Lindsay Grice. Bev and I went, and I was sitting beside Mark Grice. I cried like 4 times during the movie. You don't want to cry beside a guy in a movie. Anywhere, but in a movie especially.
It makes you feel better. I cried too, because that's right about the time I lost my hair. And man, did Brad have nice hair.
He had nice hair. I went back later that day to the same spot of the hill at the ranch and just laid down for about 3 hours and just thought. I fell asleep for about an hour, so I guess I only reflected for 2 hours. But I always have mixed emotions when it comes to having time alone in God's creation, though. I don't know whether you can dig this, Tim, or not, but part of me loves it, thrives on it, like a fish being dumped back into the water after suffocating in a foreign world for too long. But the other part of me is terrified I'm terrified of getting closer to my Creator and reflecting on areas of my soul which I've chosen to lock away down deep inside for so long.
I'm always afraid to listen to God's voice for what he might say.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh.
Like, I love being alone, but with recreational distractions.
Yes.
I don't do well all by myself alone.
No. Guitar.
Yeah.
iPod.
Here's some observations. During the blindness, I felt, I think on the videos, you'll notice on the website, on it, drewmarshall.ca, you can watch the videos. Almost the first day, I took on a vulnerable, protectionist posture.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice when I came in?
Absolutely. Like, just you huddled up into a corner, you had your back against the wall, you've never sat in that place before, but you wanted that, it's like you sensed you wanted something around you to know what your bounds were, and nobody touched me. Kind of like the gangsters who always sit with their back, facing the door.
Yeah. Actually, I felt like Gollum.
Yeah, okay. Precious.
You know what the precious was? The white stick. Oh, I had to have it. If I dropped it or I left it somewhere and I didn't know where it was, a panic thing happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that with anything else in your life?
I had a blankie when I was younger.
No, but that's interesting that all of a sudden, because I remember asking.
Food?
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. I remember asking you about your other, senses being heightened.
No, that only happens.
No, but I think what this is attuned to that in the sense that there was a part of you that obviously was extra sensitive now. And referring to this cane of yours, it was.
I'm always extra sensitive.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've felt that many times.
You know, the other thing that freaked me out in this whole deal was my brain fatigue. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely excruciating.
Like, how do you mean?
Trying to formulate sentences.
Really?
I had no idea my vision was that committed or that connected to my own communication. Your vision is connected to perceiving other people's communication, but to your own communication, had no idea. Because I'm so used to communicating with my eyes open.
Yeah. Do you mean, like, I know specifically during the show you've got your notes, and I could sense on Saturday there was a level of,
nakedness.
You were nervous
because
you didn't have your notes.
Yeah. And you know what else? This thing has exposed my learning disabilities, which I've refused to talk about or acknowledge because I was a dork of a student and I had a lot of problems and I was asked not to come back to four different schools and my mom put me in special ed retard class and it was just, horrible, horrible, horrible stuff.
Yeah.
And I've just refused to have labels put on me. Refused.
Well, that's a good thing.
But this thing has really brought it to the surface and gone, you know what? You need to own this, dude. You have a real problem with retaining information, retention, and you have a problem with getting your thoughts out into words. And what am I doing for a living here, for my job? Weird.
Yeah, I don't think labels are – don't let people stick labels to you. I think you have to be comfortable with those labels.
Right, but I was so stuffing that stuff down that – and this, you know what? This gave me compassion for my daughter. My daughter struggles with the same kind of stuff. And I used to get so frustrated with her, and I couldn't figure out why. Well, now I know why, because it was bringing up stuff for me, and I was like, oh, I do not want this to happen. So anyway, I had a big chat with my daughter the other day and apologized for being such a jerk for so many years.
Wow.
I thought life would slow down to maybe 40, 50%.
Yeah.
It slowed down to a grinding 10%. Now, I'm sure after you're blind for a while, you can kick her back up a notch, right? I'm sure. But it drove me insane. I mean, I stubbornly remained fiercely independent until the last couple of days, and then I was just too exhausted to care anymore. I finally entered into the world of interdependence.
Mm.
And I kind of leaned into, like, I'd have to rely on my wife, Bev, and my Bev is not, I found out she doesn't do too well when people are that dependent on her.
So you don't have to worry about a codependent problem.
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. I remember asking her one time if she could do something, and I heard her go.
The still small.
I heard that.
Yeah, the still small voice
yes.
of Bev.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I didn't feel judged by others.
Really?
And I didn't judge others.
That's profound.
Yeah. I remember having a waitress in a pub one time, and it didn't matter what she looked like. It didn't matter. It was just whatever came out of her mouth, and it was the communication. It was what was inside of her that mattered more than the external judgment stuff.
Wow. And you didn't feel judged.
And I didn't feel judged. No, again, I was hanging out with some people in another pub, and and the guitar guy was coming out. You can see the clip on YouTube on our website. And it was just the staff hanging around and stuff. But people started conversations, and it was great. It was just, yeah. I didn't feel anybody. I felt there was a bit of a sympathy
thing. I was just
going
to say, yeah. Did you feel that? Like people were just
totally.
Being nice to you?
And I was nervous about missing it again.
Really?
Yeah. Like after I'm a sighted guy, people, I'm just a schmuck again.
Yeah.
People don't give a holy grunt about me.
Oh, I do.
I was very bored, so I ate way more, and I napped. I never nap. One day I had two naps.
Oh, brother.
I even watched or listened to the Country Music Awards. That's how bored I was. That's boredom, man.
Man.
So anyway, there were lots of fascinating things that kind of happened there. It was really good to see the family again when I took the contact lenses out.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that.
But I noticed how I avoided eye contact. So now this is after I got my sight back. Mm-hmm. I notice how much I avoid eye contact with people.
Really?
Yeah, especially when I'm talking about myself. I felt very guilty for not doing anything all week long, basically, 10% productivity, and almost immediately felt the need to get things done. And life just went so much faster. I mean, I had to rush out the door one time, and I put away two boxes of cereal, the milk, my dishes, and I was out the door in 30 seconds. That would have taken me half an hour when I was blind. I did not miss the world of advertising at all. As soon as I took the contacts out, internet advertising, television advertising, out in the, the signs outside advertising, flyers in the mail advertising, everywhere. I did not miss the onslaught of advertising.
It's probably a nice thing.
Yeah. My judgment of others resumed. Based on appearance or mannerisms.
Nice.
And here's a thought I have. If the church doesn't appear to easily accept ugly people, like look around your church on any given Sunday and count the extremely broken, smelly, ugly, poorly clothed people. Now, maybe you've got a church that has lots of those and good on you, but most people don't.
No.
So if the church doesn't appear to easily accept ugly people, awkward people, inconvenient people, then by default, they probably would have a hard time accepting me and my inner ugliness.
Hmm.
That was a thought I had. It was kind of one of those, ooh. Yeah. It was a bit random there, that thought.
No. I totally see what you're saying. If
I don't see exteriorly ugly people in the church, then I'm not going to reveal my inner ugliness. Because I already know that church is not accepting.
But as a blind person for that week, if you can't sense how physically ugly people are, did that change it, though?
Well, it helped conversations with people. People were opening up to me more.
Really? Man.
And then there was the odd time where I'd be opening up and people would walk away and I'd still be opening.
Like when they sent you down in the elevator?
Yes.
That was classic.
There was a few people that I had conversations with, and then it was like they felt, well, he can't see me, so I don't need to say goodbye. And they just left.
Like, were you still rambling?
Yeah.
Around?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
So there's a couple of times where near the end of the week, I would just go, are you still there? And they go, yeah. I'm listening. Oh, okay. Now, I've since had moments of actually wanting to go back to my private hiding place to put the contact lenses back in and just go back to that,
You got pretty good with that cane towards the end.
I was awesome with that cane. Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't I, Tim?
Yes, it was awesome.
Great aim.
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried that people won't engage with me, like while I was blind. I think I just said that. I felt like they took pity on me and actually cared that I was maybe special. It was good to find stuff I was looking for all week, and finally. And I didn't have to ask anymore, what time is it? That was a frustrating thing. What time is it? It's 10:30. Now that I can see, I can capture my thoughts as opposed to trying to stab at meatballs on my plate. Which was a funny scene at the ranch.
That was a classic scene, yes. And then that guy hitting you, just a
pat
in the back.
Yeah.
Your reaction was amazing.
Yeah. I think I had a little pee came out. I was so scared. First couple of days when I had my vision back, I was very uncoordinated. At Easter dinner that night, I dropped stuff onto my lap and played about four times.
Even with your sight?
Yeah, getting my sight back.
Wow.
I also have a hard time remembering whether I did something or not during the week because there was no visual memory. Go, did I do that? Did I get that done last week? That kind of a thing.
But see, you're just a visual learner. I'm the same way.
Guys. Maybe more guys than
girls?
Well,
I don't know the stats, but I know there's different types of learners, and that's definitely one of them.
I still feel ignored by God, but not abandoned.
Hmm.
That's heavy. Think about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I can. Yeah, it's funny because in some ways they seem like, you know, if you look them up in the thesaurus, they'd almost be the same word, but they are very different. Yeah, I like that one. You're smart.
Thank you. I'm going to make a phone call.
Okay.
I'm going to call Christy Healy.
Okay.
She's the widow of Juno Award winner Jeff Healy. And we've had some great chats over the last year.
Yeah, I remember the last time I talked to her.
Hello.
Hi, Christy. It's Drew.
Hi.
You're live on the air. Just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, great.
Give you a little heads up about that. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's good to join you again.
Third time, I think.
I think so. It is time number three.
So when I told you that I was going to go blind for a week, what did you think?
I thought, have fun.
Have fun with that. Bye-bye now.
I just laughed to myself. I remember what it was like going through the blackout in 2003, just for, you know, a day or two. And Jeff got a good kick out of that. So I can't imagine doing it for a week.
Yeah, it was, well, I don't think, now, maybe if someone wants to let me know, I have not heard of anybody else going an entire week blind before.
I don't think I have either.
I did some internet research, and I talked to Tom Sullivan. He trained Ben Affleck in Daredevil, and he works with different people in different scenarios, and he said, you know, we'll get people to go 24 hours just to get a feel for it.
Now, I don't know what Jamie Foxx did when he was filming Ray.
Yeah, I wonder what... I wonder how long it went for that.
Apparently,
you know?
He wore them often when he was doing certain scenes, mm-hmm. just okay. to have that real sense of
did he have contacts?
Yeah, he did have some prosthetics, but they don't. They often wouldn't let him wear them for financial safety reasons, and like he'd fall off the stage or something like that.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah, those actors are insured up the wazoo. They really are. Christy, you were married to one of the world's most legendary guitar players, who also happened to be blind.
Yes.
And Jeff passed away from cancer, I think, was it March 8th last year?
It was March 2nd.
March 2nd.
Yes.
He was 41.
Yes, he was.
Left behind 3-year-old son, Derek. How's Derek doing?
Derek is great. He is a giant now. 3.5 feet tall at just over 4 years old.
Just over four.
Just over four now. So he's doing really well, and so
were there worries that Derek had the same kind of eye issues, vision issues that Jeff had?
Yes, Derek does have retinoblastoma technically, but he's been tumor free for 2.5 years. We've been treating him since he was born. We knew before we had Derek that he would have retinoblastoma. I had an amnio done before delivery, and we found out that through DNA testing that he had the same mutation that Jeff had in the RB gene. Now, his sister, Rachel, does not have that, and it's usually a 50-50 chance that, you know, children, that you may pass it on to your children if you have bilateral retinoblastoma, which is what Jeff had.
Right. How old is Rachel now?
Rachel's 14.
My goodness. You starting to feel old at all?
There are days when I feel much older than I should.
What was it like being married? Because you're Jeff's second wife, and you came into this scenario. He was blind. Have you ever dated a blind person before?
I had never dated a blind person before. I did date someone who did have somewhat of a vision problem, but nothing even comparatively to blind. And at first, it was... I don't know if it was unnerving or not, just because of how independent Jeff was. I didn't know what I should be helping with and what I shouldn't be helping with. So as I explained this to him, he said, you know what, I'll let you know. Just follow my lead.
That's interesting. My assistant was my assistant for the week, and she had to figure out, well, she figured out very quickly that I was still wanting to remain fiercely independent and stubborn in some situations. Can you relate to that at all?
I can. I can, but it was a great trait in Jeff, because not only was he blessed with this need for independence, but he was also raised by two wonderful parents who adopted him, who encouraged him to be independent. So his father would always tell me one of his most famous sayings as a child was, "Don't guide me." And nice. and he insisted, "Don't guide me." And when in the first club that they opened with his name on it, his business partners took him down to take a look at the place, and you know, they were trying to show him around, saying, "Oh, well, you want to walk over here? Don't bump into that, Jeff, and we're gonna take you around here." Finally, he just threw down his cane and said, "Get out." And he made them leave the building, and he just wandered around in the dark down there, bumping into things to find his way around.
Oh, man. You know, my assistant found that she became protective of me. Did you find that way at all, or were you quickly put into place by Jeff with this whole protectionism thing?
Well, I did become protective of him in certain situations, depending on where we were. And then there were situations where, you know, living with someone that's blind and who has been blind his whole life, basically, from the age of one. He doesn't really have any memory of any vision of anything. When you're living with someone that's that independent, you can sometimes forget that they're blind because they're so used to their surroundings.
Yeah, and you've got to be used to their surroundings, not your surroundings. In other words, you can't be leaving stuff out.
No, and I have to learn that
doors
after
open.
A few mishaps.
Yeah. Can you give us an example? Do you remember? Can you think back to one time when you left the cupboard door open and he whacked his head off it or something?
Oh, I've done that a number of times. Or left a door open, and that was something that we had to get family members used to as well. And the running joke was every time we would go to my parents' place, my mother always has a habit of wanting to rearrange the furniture. And every time he would come in, after the first couple of times, he'd stop at the doorway and he'd say, "Now, Glenna, what have you done with the place this time?" Before he'd take another step.
Oh, man. Well, again, we're on the phone with Christy Healy. Christy was married to Jeff Healy, a Juno Award winner. Did you ever get used to thinking like a blind person, Christy?
No, I didn't. I mean, there were certain things that I always tried to think ahead of. And, you know, there was the odd time where I would forget to say step or curb, but most of the time it just came naturally. We'd be walking along, and we'd be seconds away from a curb, and I'd say curb, so he'd step up. It just became second nature because you're used to it. But with being with a person, when you're with a person that's extremely independent and is used to using a cane, you almost don't have to in some cases, and especially if you're in a surrounding where they're used to it. So it was almost as though I'd forgotten he was blind until we stepped at the front door of our house. Inside, he didn't need any assistance.
Wow.
Outside, he did.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, we had people visiting and things kind of got rearranged, but you know, that was the number one rule when people visited, you know, you can move this, you can move that, but don't move anything in the kitchen and don't move anything in the bathroom.
You know, people asked me, did your other senses get heightened? And my response to them was, no, that doesn't happen after a week of blindness. I think that happens after years or even being born with, you know, that kind of a thing. Wouldn't
you
say?
I think so. And the way Jeff explained it, he explained it to me in the way that he didn't feel that his other senses were heightened or stronger. He just knew how to use them.
Oh, that's a good
better.
Point.
He said, I think everyone has the same type of senses, unless, of course, they have a hearing problem. Unless, of course, they have a hearing problem. But he said, I don't think my hearing is any greater than anyone else's. I'm just used to using it differently.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons I did this is because I wanted to know, I know this is a bit of a pipe dream. I know this wasn't going to be, I don't know, I probably wasn't thinking too clearly when I set out on this task, but I was really hoping that God would show up in some kind of a Simba way, you know, some kind of Mufasa thing from the deep recesses of my cloudy heads and whisper into my soul, "You are my son." And I could finally hear it because I've been blind for a week. And, you know, that didn't happen.
Well, it probably didn't happen because you were looking too hard for it. You'll figure it out months from now.
I know, but you're right because I thought my life would be more still being blind. But being blind for a week only meant that I was listening to stuff I never had to listen to before. And so there was more brain activity to the point where I was absolutely brain fatigued.
Yeah, and I think that it may be like that for a lot of people who are blind. I don't know. I know for Jeff, his mind was running all the time, and in some senses it may have just been who he was. You know, he would constantly be thinking about something, and it, oftentimes he didn't sleep very much either. He was a night hawk and a morning person. So there was always something going on that he had to do or that he wanted to do.
So he was, I mean, he was a high driver, no question.
Yes.
Speaking of driving, you told me the story that you'd be driving around in the neighborhood and Jeff would listen out the window and he could tell by the change in air pressure when you passed a driveway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people who can hear that. Even I can hear that. But what really fascinated me was he could walk down the hallway in our house and tell if a bedroom door was open or closed.
Wow.
Just because of how the air sounded.
Do you think, you know, we, how do I say this? Maybe it's just because they stand out more, but Stevie Wonder, Blind Boys of Alabama, Ray Charles, Jeff Healey, there seems to be an enormous amount of people who are blind who are also extremely talented in something else. Or is it just that they hit the spotlight, those ones, and there's still hundreds of thousands of blind people who aren't talented in anything?
I honestly don't know if I'm qualified to answer that. It's possible, but as you said, there are a lot of people who are not musically inclined.
Yeah, like
although they might be talented in something else.
Yeah, well, like Jeff, for example, would Jeff have been as a success musically, or not a success, as talented musically, had he been sighted? And no one can ever answer that question.
No one can, because you don't know whether he would have been visually distracted. You really don't know. He was also a very avid reader. He could read Braille faster than I can read.
Wow.
And he was always the student in school that would basically do all the readings for any ceremony. Most of the kids, a friend of his, Glenn Wade, that he went to school with at the School for the Blind in Brantford, he would get Jeff to read out chapters to them because they hated reading. So he was the one that would kind of help them catch up on their homework because he was always reading. And that's something that he just took to personally, and I don't think it had anything to do with him being blind. He was always just curious to learn and to gain information.
We're on the phone with Christy Healy. Christy, again, as I think I mentioned this a little while ago, I wanted to know if being blind, I could hear better spiritually. What do you think about Jeff and his spiritual life and how it pertained to his blindness, or how the blindness pertained to his spiritual life?
Well, I think...
Did you ever talk about that with him?
We did. I mean, he looked at his life, being blind all his life. I asked him once, if you had an opportunity to have your sight back, would you? And he had certain scientific reasons as to why he may not, or he wouldn't have. One of the reasons that they say sometimes it's really difficult for an adult brain to process all of that immediately.
Right.
But he said, you know, I've led a good life, and I had two loving parents and a loving family, and I experienced so much in my life. But I think his where he was spiritually helped him through that. He overcame a lot of obstacles that I think in some ways paved the road for many other people with disabilities to say, hey, you know what, I can do that. But he didn't do any of that in his life without his faith. That is what gave him the strength, I think, to say, you know what, I can do this. Being blind is not going to stop me. Okay, maybe getting a driver's license, okay. But most things in his life, I think he did rely on his faith, and he felt very, very blessed in all areas of his life.
How was the anniversary of his first death for you? How did that day go for you, Christy?
The night before was, I think, the most difficult because you're anticipating that day. And it was a very quiet day, which is how I preferred it to be.
Sure.
But, there were phone calls and emails and you know, well wishes. And I found myself talking to him. Hmm. And I think that rings true for a lot of people, especially, you know, that first year. And I'm sure it continues on into other years as well. I don't know, and I guess I'll find out as I go along. But, the first anniversary of his passing was very difficult with the anticipation of it, but the day itself was not as traumatic as I was expecting it to be. I actually had some peace.
Good. I wonder if God had something to do with that.
Gee, I wonder. Well, you know, I find, you know, through the last year and in organizing a move and, you know, my son's starting school in September. And
you have had one amazing year.
It's been quite a year, and there have been times where my patience and even my faith have been tested. But when it came down to the crunch of breaking, that's when I reminded myself why I got through everything I got through. And it was because of God. And that's what helped me get through that day. I knew that I would. And I prayed the night before. I prayed the day of. I asked God for some peace, knowing that Jeff was in a better place, was much better than he was before he left this world, and that everything is going to be okay. And that's the sense of peace that I had that day, even though there was still sadness in it. And I'm sure for a very long, long time there will be, because I love him and miss him. That, I don't think, goes away. But the sense of peace and acceptance will continue to grow.
Well, I'm glad your house finally sold.
So am I, especially in this market.
And I'm glad that you have absolutely no question about Jeff's spiritual health before he passed.
Absolutely none. No doubt.
And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about the legal garbage you've been through with Jeff's music.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And unfortunately, I'm not really in a position where I can discuss it.
No.
But it is unfortunate.
I don't even want you to discuss it on my show. I don't need to be secondered. Oh, man. Christy, you have been an encouragement to me ever since we first met and chatted, and I look forward to you keeping up that, you know, you're into that bargain we made about heading off to church soon.
I look forward to it. I really do. That
I just thought I'd mention that publicly.
That's right. He's mentioned it on live radio.
It's got to happen now.
That's right. I can't back out now.
Oh, you got a great heart. Christy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure as always.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Christy Healy on the Drew Marshall Show yet again. Man, I love that girl. When we come back after this very, very short break, we're going to chat with actor and author and speaker Tom Sullivan. He was on The Tonight Show 60 times. He's been in a whole bunch of television shows. Designing Women, Highway to Heaven, Fame, MASH, Mork and Mindy, WKRP in Cincinnati, Touched by an Angel, Oprah Winfrey. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. He was a Good Morning America correspondent for 5 years, I think. He's an amazing, amazing human being, and we're talking to him next.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.